Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Ooh, welcome into this Thursday of the firm. My name is Patrick. That is Danny. Our last names are Harris and Meringue. Thank you for joining us today. We're almost there. You know me, every day is a celebration to get to Friday. Every day is a celebration.
There you go.
Every day is a celebration. You hear these guys yelling this morning about Hood River and pears and a bunch of weirdos.
You pro pear?
I'm pro pear.
I don't think I've ever actively been like, you know what I want? A pear.
Except for I'll fight anybody about apples, dude, from the great state of Washington.
Look, I'm pro Cosmic Crisp.
I can't eat apples, though, dude.
Why?
Something about the acidity in the skin gives me, like, debilitating heartburn.
Man, you sound kind of like a child.
I am kind of like a child in that sense. I don't eat like a child, though. I don't. No, I eat great. I eat a lot of great, fun stuff. I eat a lot of vegetables.
I eat like a child.
I know you eat like a child.
But I do vegetables.
What kind of veggies?
I'll do some broccoli. I'm a broccoli guy. Green beans, asparagus.
I had broccoli.
Salad.
I had broccoli and Brussels last night.
No, I won't do Brussels sprouts.
My kids won't do Brussels either.
They can get right the hell out of here.
So it's like the wife cooked both of them, and I had this steaming pile of giant mound of Brussels sprouts on my plate last night.
That sounds about the right way to describe those.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's a steaming mound.
There were like two pieces of broccoli in there. And I was like, man, this is disproportionate over here. Look over at my kids and they got all the broccoli. I love Brussels, so it doesn't matter to me.
I'm pro broccoli. I'm definitely Brussels sprouts and asparagus are two things that I don't get down
asparagus,
with.
Asparagus, numero uno.
No.
I like asparagus.
Yeah, baby.
Nope.
A lot of it is because I look forward to that post asparagus urination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are also other things post asparagus that are supposed to be nice as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the pineapple world, if you catch my drift.
I'm not down with the asparagus. And so as I've gotten older, things that I didn't like, I have gone back and like given them another try.
Multiple times. I hate pineapple, and I do that about every 5 years. I taste pineapple, like fresh pineapple.
Yeah, I cut one up the other day. It was good.
And it's just not me.
No.
No.
It happens.
There's lots of other fruits I'd choose before pineapple.
It's a pure flavor thing for me.
Yeah.
Are you guys mushroom eaters?
Yes.
Yeah. When I always grilled up with onions.
Oh, they're like a tandem.
Yeah. If I'm always onion.
They're like LeBron Kyrie.
Yeah. I'm always onion, but every now and then it's onions and mushrooms.
Mm. Well, I like a good sautéed mushroom.
Yeah.
I love a good sautéed mushroom.
Yeah.
There are a few things that's like nearly everything I cook has either peppers and or onions sautéed.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, it makes everything better.
I mean, everything is onions and garlic for me, everything.
Yeah, that's the other one.
I finally got back to the peppers. There were like no peppers in my household for a long time because like nobody wanted them.
And really?
Now I just force everybody to eat them.
Look, man, like I wasn't a bell pepper guy growing up, but I don't know what changed. I just like started, I think honestly, as funny as it was, I think it was either Panda Express or Chipotle. They accidentally put it in on one of my orders and I was like, and I ate them. I'm like, you know what? That's pretty good. See, I started doing it at home.
I kind of like the sweeter ones, like your reds and your yellows and your oranges.
I don't do the greens.
Yeah.
The greens aren't my favorite. I'm a big red bell pepper guy. But
I think what I love about peppers the most is you can eat them raw or eat them cooked, and everywhere in between is still good.
Yeah.
You know, like not everybody loves raw onions. I'm down with raw onions, but not everybody is.
No,
thank you.
But it's like from the beginning to the end, your story's good.
Raw red onion on a burger, totally fine.
Nope. Get the hell out.
Yeah.
And I'm diehard red onion, too, over white or yellow.
Oh, see, I love a sweet onion.
Oh, see, and I'm just racist towards them all. Reds for life.
Yeah. See, but like if we're cooking, you know, and you're starting with
Walla
your garlic
Walla?
And onion base, you go with the white onion.
Walla Walla onions are fantastic.
Where's Walla Walla? Like southwestern or southeastern Washington?
Yeah. Oh, right, Washington, the greatest state in America. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, oh. I just wanted to remind you.
God, I fell right into that.
Yeah, dude, fell right into that.
Right into that.
You got lentils just above onions, and then you got apples just above that, and wheat all around it.
Where is Washington a big lentil state?
Big lentil state.
I did not know that.
Eastern Washington and western Idaho. Tons of lentils.
Ah, that makes sense. It is the high desert, high plains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Fantastic.
I do love a good lentil soup.
Did I not tell you there's a giant lentil festival every year in Pullman, Washington?
No, I don't think so. I
don't think I've ever heard that before.
Oh, yeah, they do like a big chili cook-off. There's like a four-person parade that goes through, you know, the two blocks of downtown. It's pretty great.
Lentil festival,
whole 5 minutes?
It's like a live music. It's usually like my boy Cody Beebe, if you know him, up in the Yakima area. It's usually like him playing out there for the last 20 years.
Oh, man.
Small town life, dude. Mm. Small town life.
You guys are hyped for the lentil festival this year? Oh, yeah. No, I picked up my outfit.
I would go back to school early because it was like the week before school started. So, like, I'd always go back early.
Is it like a potluck kind of situation? Like, what do we got here?
It's almost like a Saturday market type event. Okay. So there's like some vendors around. There's like a chili cook-off. There's live music. It's cool.
I can get down with that.
I love a good party.
What's that?
That is somebody outside seeping through Jeff Russ's door.
I heard what sounded like a dying animal.
That's what we call a Sprague in the wild.
Oh, crikey.
Check out the wild Sprague in his natural habitat.
Oh.
Looking for a nap after he has his breakfast burrito.
Right. And is that your drink?
That is mine.
Okay. I was like, did he leave his drink in here? What are you drinking?
That's a protein shake.
Okay. What flavor are we working with here?
Chocolate. I don't like the vanilla ones.
It's fair. Do you have to chew on it?
No.
Okay.
No, you do not. Actually, I don't even think it's got real milk in it either, too. Mm. I think it's a dairy alternative.
Almond milk?
I don't know. Let's find out here.
Do you have to refrigerate it?
No, it is real milk. Dude, no wonder this thing makes me poop all the time. Oh, it says it's lactose-free.
So is it real milk then?
It says ultra-filtered skim milk.
Oh. All right.
Water and cream. Well, how is there cream and milk in this, no lactose?
You said you don't have to refrigerate it?
It says, you definitely have to.
Okay, I thought you didn't.
No, you don't have to. I get this at Costco, and it's not refrigerated.
How is that possible?
I don't know, man.
That's why you're pooping all the time.
Probably.
Because they've got, like, a Costco, too. Their little Kirkland brand, like the chocolate milks and stuff, and they're not kept refrigerated.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's milks in cartons, in, like, the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
In dry storage at the stores?
Yeah.
You guys don't have fallout shelters?
I currently do not have one.
I'm not a full-on prepper, but I do have a go bag and stuff.
That's the least surprising thing ever.
Yeah, how many guns are in that go bag?
Well, that's a different bag.
You got two bags?
Look, we have bags for the long rifles. We have bags for the pistols.
Two guys doing one job. We got to do something about that.
I do have one for my long rifle that slides into my other go bag. So
kind of like you always see in like zombie movies.
Yeah,
somebody goes to the cop station. They've got a big duffel bag, and the shotgun slides through the handles.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I've always wanted.
But mine's on the side of the bag.
I've always wanted to build like a fallout bunker, like an end of the world bunker.
Well, it's actually. The easiest way to do it is go buy a decommissioned silo in like North Dakota, South Dakota. Mm. You can buy what was actually like an ICBM silo, and people turn them into houses.
I want to like in my backyard, like where the dog runs around and my kids play, but underneath it is secretly a bunker. But I don't want it for like end of the world days.
Just want a man cave?
I just want a man cave that nobody knows about. Now, if the end of days does come, then I'm down there with a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I probably just need a place to smoke weed. That's probably all it is.
Well, make sure your air filtration's good.
Well, duh, it would have everything.
This would be
like you ever watch 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Oh, yeah.
I want something like that, like a house down there.
Okay.
I mean, okay, I'm about to tangent serious. Realistically.
What was the Brendan Fraser movie? God, it was Brendan Fraser, Christopher Walken, when he, Alicia Silverstone. God, what was that stupid movie?
I don't know, but now I want to watch this movie.
Yeah, he goes down like
I know what you're talking about.
Like
now.
A meteor hits in like the 60s, but like they think it's a nuclear bomb, and they stay in the shelter for like 40 years, and Fraser's raised in it.
Blast from the Past.
There we go. Yeah,
I did see that movie.
Fun little movie.
You know what I really, really want?
Mm.
I really, really want to retire out in like Stevenson in Skamania area up in Gifford Pinchot in a hobbit hole.
You're just making up words now.
I want to live
Skamania, Gifford Pinchot.
I want to live in a hobbit hole.
Okay.
Like it's just like a mound on the top, but it's buried underneath.
Just retire with,
multiple,
with your people?
Yeah. Just see, different rooms for different things.
They have that in Grants Pass.
Every time self-insulated. Every time I see the Gifford Pinchot sign, I have to say it in my head like Pincho, like Bronson Pincho.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they've got like hobbit houses in Grants Pass.
Yeah, you can buy kits online to help build them.
I'm just like, you know, you don't have to do that.
But it sounds nice. I mean, you're insulated because of the ground,
sure.
So you save money on heat.
Mm-hmm. You're also under the ground.
That sounds great.
You are a hobbit.
I got the feet for
it. Wait, no, it was underground ones of the dwarves, right?
The dwarves live in caves.
Yeah.
Hobbits live in holes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like bears versus moles.
Mm.
Bears live in caves.
Yeah.
Moles live in the ground.
Yeah, I'm more bear. You're more mole.
Well, dwarves, you know, they were kind of reigning supreme over, you know, over the land there, over Middle Earth.
There you go.
The hobbits, they were just fun,
there.
Fun little folk.
Yeah.
Fun little folk. That
roving band of nomads.
That just got fat and drunk all the time. If that doesn't represent me, I don't know what does.
I like to rule.
I know you do. You look like a dwarf.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I mean, they made the dwarves look really cool in the Hobbit movies.
What's the actor that played Lord of the Rings?
John Rhys-Meyers?
Yeah, love him.
Oh, yeah. Which is funny because he's like 6 foot.
Yeah, he's a bigger dude.
He's an Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And so like...
Indy.
To make him... I said no horses! Or he says no camels! And to make him a dwarf is pretty funny.
He's not Fisher Stevens... brown face, but they did make him Egyptian.
They did make him Egyptian.
Like, what's
or North African of some set?
Like,
yes,
which he is tangential, but like as much as Fisher Stevens gets it for the Johnny Five of it all,
I am standing here beside myself.
Yeah, that one's really bad. But Sean Connery as the Spaniard. Highlander is like the most egregious thing of all time because he doesn't even change his accent.
No.
Well, is that the most egregious one of all time, or is it John Wayne as Genghis Khan?
Oh, that's pretty
that's
tough.
Pretty tough. Or pretty tough. Elizabeth
Taylor.
Taylor
as the Egyptian Cleopatra. Dude, that movie's great. I've watched that movie 1,000 times. I own it. It's like 3.5 hours long.
That's long, you know, they all were.
Charlton Heston, I believe, is in that.
Was it Gone with the Winds? Like
no, it's
4
not,
hours.
It's not Charlton Heston. It's
it's not Brosnan.
No, it's
dang it.
Oh crap! I'll have to look it up in the break. Not important. Mokely Dokely, we got a show for y'all today. We'll continue our travel around the NFL teams that have made the playoffs. We'll get to the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans today. Our good buddy Danny Cannell will join us at the 11 o'clock hour to talk a little college football. We'll talk about these college football playoff games. We'll get to Ducks, Indiana. Also, Ole Miss, Miami. Maybe we'll talk a little bit DeMond Williams aftermath as well. What
Richard
else
Burton
we
and Rex Harrison.
Richard Burton is who I was thinking of. Rex Harrison is the bad guy. Richard Burton is Julius Caesar. No, Rex
no,
Harrison.
Rex
is
Harrison
Julius
is Caesar,
Caesar
and Richard Burton,
Burton
is Mark Antony.
Yes, there you go. It is a 10 Toes Down Thursday, so it's 10 Toes at 12:15. You can get those submissions in. But let's start here in the association. The guy nobody wants goes to a team that nobody watches. How excited are you?
Mm.
Plus the little Blazers, 105.1 The Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Like I said, Danny Cannell will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll get some college football in, some NFL as well. It is 10:18 here on Portland Sports Leader. I hope you didn't forget. In case you did, we are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Why is it historic? I'm not sure, but I'm going with it. Sukanik and I talked about it once and decided to just roll with it. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Shout out to the YouTubers. In the chat over there, they're getting down on TikTok conversations. So if you want to feel young or old, your decision, cruise on over there. You know something, as we get into this Trae Young trade, Danny, you know, we talked about Blazers and potential trade marketing, kind of glossed a little bit over the trade market in general in the NBA. Do you ever find it strange when trades happen and no draft compensations are involved? Because, you know, in almost any sport, even in baseball, where trades are super weird with minor league guys, there's always still, you know, an unconditional round first round pick or a compensatory pick or, you know, sixth round swapping for a fifth, stuff like that.
Yeah. That was the hang up in that deal was Trey or the Wizards and Hawks talking about additional compensation. So that was kind of where that thing was headed last night. It sounded like the Hawks were trying to posture it a little bit, but it ultimately came down to just a straight player swap. It also goes to show you just how far Trae Young's just value was. I've been trying to say this for 2 years. His value is in the dirt.
Yeah, let's get into it. The Atlanta Hawks trade four-time All-Star Trae Young, who was at one point their centerpiece of their franchise. Took him to an Eastern Conference All-Star. Finals. He gets packed and sent to the Washington Wizards, excuse me.
I like Witters.
For Corey Kispert and CJ McCollum.
There you go.
What's extremely fascinating about this trade, you nailed it. It's that his value is completely in the tank. And, you know, CJ's life post-Blazers has not been a sexy story.
He's played for the Pelicans, Wizards, and now at least he gets to go to the Hawks.
Yeah, he might get flipped again, you know, as the Hawks are looking to maybe flip these dudes to the Mavs to try to get Anthony Davis. This whole thing reeks to me of just, I don't want these guys. Oh, I don't want this guy. You want to just swap problems and let them expire on their deals and let somebody else deal with them? And that's, you don't see that a whole lot in other sports. It feels like the NBA is quicker to just kind of say, you know what? I'm done with you. And I
Now
that's kind of the new age of the NBA. Well, we talked about it yesterday with like the Jonathan Kamingas of the world. And you always mention LaMelo Ball in this conversation too. The NBA is weird in the sense that there are guys who can obviously play basketball.
There is a sliding scale of good to putting up with somebody. What do we see in the NFL? Like you put up with crazy for a certain amount of times, but because of the aprons now and how prohibitive they are, if you have somebody on it's a sliding scale, not just of like attitude and stuff that you have to put up with or things that you struggle with to build a team. But if financially it becomes so punitive, like $50 million, it's just like, I don't care.
I just don't know any other sport in which somebody can clearly play the sport, but can't play the sport. You see what I mean? Like, wide receivers, like you can be Tyreek Hill or Rashee Rice and have this drama off the field. But, you know, or like a Myles Garrett when he swung a helmet at Mason Rudolph, you know, like you can have crazy people off the field, on the field, but they still play football.
Yeah.
And they're still good at football and have a place for it.
It's much more specialized. Where in the NBA, it's not specialized.
You have to be able to do both.
Well, especially at $50 million. So
baseball, we can hide you at a DH.
There's not only that.
Or in right field.
There's a massive swing for size in the NBA. Small ball is dying.
Sure.
It is dying. Just look at how big the NBA is right now. Think about every team. Think about the game last night between the Blazers and the Rockets and how big those teams
are. That was not a small basketball game.
Like, everybody's big.
Well, and what do we say? Oh, Steph Curry is small? How tall is Steph Curry?
Steph is 6'4".
That's not small.
No.
You know, Dame is small on TV. He's not small.
No, Dame's 6'3". So, that's actually kind of where I'm going to go with this. If you are smaller, like, Dame's not a great defender. That's fine. But Dame's a truck. Like, physically, he's not going to get bullied.
Well, you know, it's the conversation that they have about Luka a lot these days. You know,
Luka's one of the strongest guys in the league.
But his defense is cheeks, you know?
But if you put in a position,
it outweighs.
Like, he's 6'8", 270 pounds. Like, he's difficult to deal with. But, like, the death of the small guard is very much here. And unless you are a superstar, okay, these are guys that are 6'4 and under in the league right now who are, like, superstars. Maxey, Mitchell, Brunson, Steph, Norm Powell.
I mean, Brunson feels like the, I don't know technically if he is, but he feels like the smallest of all them. But think about how big he plays.
But Maxie weighs like a buck 85. Like, he's just so skinny. But Brunson, like you said, is a little truck. But defensively, Brunson's bad.
Really bad.
So the Blazers last night, they hunted Reed Shepard mercilessly with Denny Avdia.
Because you're looking for that matchup. And I guess if
you basically what I'm saying with all these guys, you get into like De'Aaron Fox, Ja Morant, Darius Garland, like you have to be special. Like that's the thing. Like all the guys I just named, Maxie, Max Steele, Mitchell, Max Steele, Brunson, Max Steele, Curry, Max Steele, Fox, Max Steele, Trae Young, Max Steele, Ja, previous Max Steele, CJ's on a $30 million contract, Garland's on a $40 million contract. After you get past those guys, then you just see it fall off a cliff and how much guys are getting paid. And if you drop this down to like 6'1 and under, those are the truly special guys, like Brunson. Brunson is special,
right? Not my Huckleberry, but clearly talented, and that's why he is who he is. But once you get, I mean, of all those dudes that you said, kind of around that Brunson area, the Maxies, the Garlands, etc.
Mitchells, yeah.
Those guys are pieces that win you championships.
Yes.
They might not have championships.
They're all stars and all NBA guys.
Without a doubt. And you have to be special. And Trae Young, the reality is that Trae Young hasn't been special for a very long time. And dare I ask, was he ever?
He was, but here's the other thing.
Cool tournament. Cool little player at Oklahoma.
And he obviously took the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals and all that kind of stuff. But
do we think we're getting Steph Curry because he's a cool little player at Davidson?
But here's the problem, though.
He's
not an efficient scorer. He's never been a great three-point shooter. He's been a volume three-point shooter, but he's never been efficient. But like they kind of tied him together because he would take deep threes. He wasn't a great rim finisher. He's a great creator and organizer. Like as a playmaker, he's one of the best like passers in the league. But the problem is he's very selfish. His teammates over the years have hated his guts.
It's been pretty apparent this year in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, they finally changed management. Salah took over, and they were like, okay, like this has got to happen. Travis Schlenk is the AGM of the Wizards. He's the one who drafted Trae. Mm. So if you're wondering where that tie-in comes from, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's how this stuff always ends up working. You know, somebody has a relationship somewhere where somebody like, actually, I want this guy, blah, blah, blah. But with Trae, his stuff outweighed his production, and he's the worst defender in the league at that price point by just leaps and bounds.
And that's what's interesting to me. Like when his deal expires, you know, apparently there was some talk that he only wanted to get traded to a team who was going to pick up his deal.
Minnesota and Brooklyn were his preferred destinations. And then when he found out that those teams did not want to offer anything for him, nor do they want to pick up his option, it all of a sudden Washington was number one all the time.
Now, I know.
Whether or not, so there's a couple different ways.
Nobody in their life has ever said Washington is my destination.
So Washington can do like one of two things here. They can pick up his option. I guess one of three things here. They can just pick up his option, or they can pick up his option and extend him, or they can not pick up his option and work on an extension that way. I tend to believe, just after talking to people last night, that the likelihood is they'll pick up his option, but they'll re-sign him for significantly less and be like, look, we'll pick up your $50 million option, but that's going to be basically like a part of your next deal, and you're going to get, you know, 30. Now he'll probably get 28 to 30.
Well, that's what I'm curious. Like, when does it start to get to a point, like when Ja Morant becomes a free agent, when LaMelo Ball becomes these players that we continually talk about, Zach LaVine, who I don't think is disliked as much as, LaMelo and Ja and Trae are, but these players who are going to command this kind of money, it's going to be a pretty big sticker shock when they realize nobody's going to pay them
It's happened to all of them recently.
And it's going to be a very dramatic moment for the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, TV is going to love it, but it's going to be, the answer is going to be like, guys, you're just not worth the money.
And in the past,
and Trae might be the first domino.
And before the aprons, you got hit with just giving the money. Like if you were a top 30 player, basically, you just got the money. Mm-hmm. You're next man up. It's kind of like the NFL. Like if you're the next quarterback up, you get paid.
It's maybe the negative of the hometown max that you can give that was created to help
incentivize
keep superstars in their markets.
But
that
meanwhile,
are drafted.
The apron makes it worse now. It's like they need to add some additional maneuvering in that. But the problem is, the second you do that, then it has unintended consequences somewhere else, and blah blah blah.
Like LaMelo is not a player I'm interested to have on my team. But how do you sell the Charlotte Hornets fan base that your best player, quote unquote, you're going to let him walk?
I mean, ESPN wrote an article, I want to say about a month ago, talking about They had scouting reports basically from GMs and executives around the league around those three guys, around Trey, Jaw, and LaMelo. And one of them was like, LaMelo's talented, but he's got the brain of a high schooler. Like, he plays basketball like a high school player. Like, he doesn't care.
Like, we're at the Y?
Yeah, like he's at Chino Hill still. And it's like, that doesn't fly in the NBA. There's no doubt about the talent, but like, he just doesn't care in that sense.
And Ja has the wrong people around him.
And other issues.
And other issues. And Trey is just kind of exposed.
And that's the thing is, like, it's such a dumb thing, but being a guy that players like matters.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Like, it matters, man. It genuinely does. Like,
if you're not winning titles, do you think those guys love Draymond?
Yes, because they do love him.
Okay.
God, I just totally lost it. There's another guy. The guys just love, Kyrie. Players love Kyrie.
I love Kyrie.
Like, they love Kyrie. It's unabashed within the league. Because because they like him, they go to bat for him. Mm. Like, they just do. Even though he can be moody and he can be weird, they love him.
The media does that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how little and I don't think we should kill him because the other side production is so great, but you know how little we've ever really killed Dame for not being a great defender? Yeah. It's mentioned. It's footnoted.
Yeah.
It's aware, but we don't kill him for it. Why? Because we like him.
You like him, and he's, at his peak, was one of the best pick-and-roll offensive engines in the history of the league.
If LeBron James wasn't cringy at times, mm-hmm. most of the time, he'd be considered the greatest player of all time. Yeah. You know, Michael's a jerk, but he gets away with it because he was always a jerk. But in today's world, the media wants nice guys.
Dude, everyone loves Clay.
Dude, Curt Schilling's not in the Hall of Fame because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
That guy's a Hall of Fame pitcher. It matters today, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so if you don't have the stuff, or you have some limitation or something around that, and guys just don't like you, it becomes problematic.
I have to imagine both these guys are going to get moved again, right?
Who?
McCollum and Kispert.
No, they'll keep Kispert, and CJ's contract's expiring.
So just let it ride out?
And don't pay attention to the Hawks. They're going after Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if those two would be part of it and let Dallas get out of some financial woes with AD and just pick up those expiring contracts to make it work. Or are they going to go after picks?
Oh, they'll probably get that pick. They won't get the Pelicans pick. That won't happen.
Nobody's allowed to touch that. That's one of the dumbest things I've seen in a long time.
The two things that
I like Derek Queen, but I don't know if I like him that much.
The two things that are entirely off limits from the Atlanta Hawks are Jalen Johnson and that pick.
Yeah.
Other things can be discussed. Those two things, untouchable.
Especially coming into this draft. This draft's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. Let's stick in the association. Let's come home for a little bit as your Portland Trail Blazers defeat the Houston Rockets 103-102. That is a winning streak. A lot of cool stuff going on in this game. A lot of not sexy basketball at times.
Rock fight.
But definitely a rock fight. Let's get to the Blazers next. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Jump into the NFL as we take a look at all the teams in the playoffs. We'll start with the Chicago Bears in about 15 minutes. Danny Cannell, our good buddy, joining us at the top of hour number deuce. We'll talk some college football with the former quarterback. Maybe we'll talk a little Damon Williams. I might ask him a Dante Moore question. He is a quarterback after all. But let's stick in the association. Trailblazers defeat the Houston Rockets 103-102. That's four in a row. Danny, you said it best coming into the break last that this is a rock fight. A lot of no Trae Youngs on the floor last night.
No.
Big people only allowed on the floor. I mean, part of that is that the Blazers don't have any guards.
Yeah.
So there just aren't naturally smaller people. But this is something I've kind of said since the beginning of the year, why I like Houston so much. No Shangoon out there, but still, there is a lot of size out there for Houston.
I mean, Houston's out there with, 7 foot Steven Adams, 7 foot Kevin Durant, 6'10 Jabari Smith Jr.,
And three players that play completely different games.
Yes. Yeah. And then you've got 6'7, Tari Eason. You've got 6'6, 6'7, Amen Thompson.
You can pull Clint Capela off the bench.
Yeah. Like, they're just a big old team, and that's without Albie out there. Like, they're just a big old team. But the Blazers, I mean, 2'6'8", City's, you know, 6'7", Denny's 6'9", Donovan 7'3", Shaden 6'5", 6'6". I mean, Robert Williams is 6'10", Young 7'1". Like, they're just the two really big teams. And what you saw last night with two stars going at it, Kevin Durant and Denny Avdia put on shows.
Mm-hmm.
KD just hit mid-range after mid-range after mid-range, just shooting. Oh, like, I caught God, who was talking about it in the post game? It might have been Calabro. You know, KD's just shooting over chairs. There's nothing you can do.
No, there's nothing. And
Wemby's the only guy who's challenging that.
I mean, KD. I mean, is KD going to go down as the greatest scorer of all time?
For me, for my money, is. If you want to say Jordan, that's fine. But to me, KD's efficiency puts him number one. And not only that, there's nothing you can do.
And what's really fun is watching two superstars that score the ball really well.
Very differently.
Completely differently. That's exactly what I was going to say. KD can take a shot from anywhere on the court and drain it.
Yep.
Like, it's the easiest thing in the world. To where Denny, I think something...
got
to
work for it.
Something, and I think that's something that when you're a team like the Portland Trail Blazers, whether it's a small market or you're building to grow into something, you're not there yet...
Mm-hmm.
It's why Knicks fans love Jalen Brunson. Yeah. They love somebody that's going to go work for it. And I know, you know, there's, you know, Eason is zebra, et cetera. I understand that. But look, I heard Sprague or Dirt, I don't remember who said it this morning, you know, bring up James Harden. Okay, the conversation we always talk about, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, if the refs are going to call this stuff, then I don't have an issue with it. I don't like to think about free throw merchants. The difference between sometimes a Shai versus a Denny is lowering his head and bulldozing into the lane. And that's part of the game. That's kind of always been the game. Like, you want to talk about 90s basketball and how great 90s basketball was. Dude, a lot of dudes in the 90s are going into the paint and getting stuck, and they don't do that.
No.
Once you try it once and you get hit by a Lambeer or a Barkley or a Rodman, you're like, eh, I'm good on that.
And Denny dishes it out. He leads the NBA in and-ones converted. Why? Because he's 6'9", 250 pounds, and he plays with force. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you have to hit him. Hit him. But if you're going to hit him, you're going to put him on the line. That's like, he had, you know, 15 free throws last night, and that's because he leads the NBA in drives. And there's a ton of help defenders that are present. There's guys that are always reaching. And to Denny's credit, he's improved his handle. He's developed a couple different moves where he wants, it's not a rip through, but he wants to pull the ball through to the other side. And because he does it so tight to his body, you're going to grab his arm. You're going to grab his wrist. And over the last couple games, he's added this new move. I mentioned it on Twitter last night. He's got a new split dribble that he's going to a lot more, where he's driving with that same force and that ferocity, and he's been really good about going into that Euro, but now he's added another counter. The Euro is the deceleration, where he's changing speeds, changing gears, kind of banging through gears, revving the engine a little bit and keeping you guessing. Last night he did it four or five times, where it's a hard, hard, hard drive, explode out, and come to a stop on a dime. And it's a left-right cross between his legs. He turned Kevin Durant into a pretzel last night. And I went, damn, there's a scout sitting next to me. He goes, I don't think I've seen him do that.
Well, what did I say in the bullpen before the show? I was like, it's like your favorite Italian restaurant. Just put a chicken parm on the menu. You're like, ooh, yeah, I like that.
I like that.
I'm going to have one of those.
And then he's added the little in-between game. He hit the post fade where he drove to the rim, spun back, and pulled up. And I was like, oh. Like, he's adding things to his game now because he has to.
Well, and I think one thing that's benefiting him as well, as he's kind of really leaned into this point guard role of not just being the main scorer, but with Shaden's consistency shooting being better of late. You never know what you're going to get from Caleb Love, but if he can shoot that three, and hell, Donovan steps out to the three now every now and then, and Denny is able to see that, and that's what's happening. I don't know if teams aren't watching tape or if I'm, you know, creating hyperbole here or just being a fanboy for a second, but I think if teams look at the Blazers, they're probably saying, all right, let's shut down Denny and everything's fine. So Denny's running into the lane like he does, and if he's seeing guys like Shaden, Caleb, potentially clinging out there in good situations, he's starting to dish it to them.
Well, that's the thing is,
because they're making it now.
Well, except for last night. But, in general,
on a higher level.
Denny leads the league in potential assists, and that's because the Blazers just can't knock down threes.
Exactly.
But he only had two assists last night because they couldn't convert on his kickouts, and that was kind of the thing that kept Well, that and the Houston Rockets rebounding nearly half of their misses. They had 24 offensive rebounds last night. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the league.
12 of 40 from downtown for the Blazers last
yep.
night.
But the difference is the Rockets were 8 of 36. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rockets end up getting up 16 more shots and 4 more free throws. Now, that's 20 more shooting possessions. That is a lot. And that's the only reason this game was close, is because the Rockets were so good on the offensive glass.
I was going to say, do you think this was a bad night for the Rockets shooting, or do you think Blazer defense and rock fight mentality, whatever, came to play?
Both. You're going to have, like, both teams shot poorly. The Rockets shot 37%, the Blazers shot 43%. Neither team could hit threes. And neither team was great at the free throw line.
And I have to believe if Şengün plays, it's a different story.
It probably
is. He's just that good of a player.
But you're also, you know, the Blazers are missing, you know, 40-plus points off their bench. And just Drew and Jeremy.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, you know, if both these teams are healthy, I think it's actually a pretty good game. Now, I would still give the Rockets the advantage, for sure.
Sure, that was kind of my big thing going into the season before kind of everything hit the skids, like looking at how this team was built.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know how they matched up against Houston,
mm-hmm.
just out of curiosity, because I think Houston has been such a great story of how they're building that team, and the addition of Kevin Durant at the beginning of the season was what did it for me, because I'm on the Rockets wagon of I think they will represent the West. I don't know if they'll win. Looking at the East now, I have to think who comes out of the West is the winner. But I've liked this Rockets team because of their size. And Amen Thompson looks good as a kid. And the addition of Kevin Durant and having a stalwart down below in Steven Adams is
how
you win titles. Yeah. I know.
So
it's nice.
But no, last night, you know, the Blazers are down 18 and 20. They're 2 games under 500. They're firmly in the 9 seed. Like, they are handling business.
This 500 at home.
And, you know, about 2-3 weeks ago when we kind of looked at the schedule, I was like, look, this is where they can get some wins. Now, I did not expect them to beat, you know, the Celtics, Spurs, and Rockets in, you know, in succession kind of a deal. But you figured, okay, you can get the games that you should get, the Pelicans, the Jazz, and can you steal one here or there
mm-hmm.
and kind of get your way back into it? Yeah, that's what they've done.
Yeah, and it has to, because too much this year we've seen.
But when this team is healthy, I said they win 40 games.
Yeah.
Like, that, guess what?
There it is.
They're right there, even with all the injuries they've had. Like, this is about as successful as you could hope for with the injuries they've had.
Mm-hmm. And I think you just bang your head because you see good games against teams like the Warriors and you see bad games against teams like the Pelicans mm-hmm. with essentially the same personnel.
There's variance because they're shorthanded.
And everybody's tired, you know, mm-hmm. especially on big road trips like that. We'll keep eyes on the Blazers. They'll take on the Rockets again on Friday from the Moda Center. Let's step into the NFL. We'll keep looking at playoff teams for this year's playoffs, and welcome back to the show, my friends. Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams are the 2 seed. They will host the Packers in the playoffs. We'll get to the Bears next. 105.1 The Fan. I love B-Money on the YouTube chat. Anytime the Rockets lose, I'm happy. I don't want to sidetrack too much, but it was like it's a very strange thing for me liking this Rockets team to like have a good season this year and go on a playoff run.
Oh, I don't like the Rockets franchise, but they've got a lot of players I like.
Yeah, this team is really fun to watch. I'm with you, B-Money. Like, the James Harden years, Chris Paul. Boy, you're talking about two players that are Hall of Famers that I have never, ever enjoyed. I did not enjoy James in college.
I love Chris Paul.
I did not enjoy Chris in college. I have never enjoyed them anywhere they've been in the NBA. Just not my guys.
Amen, Tari Jabari Alpi. Love that.
Yeah, yeah. That group is nice. Mm-hmm. That group is really, really nice. It is weird to root. Not root, but to kind of predict them to play well and kind of be excited.
I'll tell you right now, if you were in the building last night, you got served a Kevin Durant treat. 31 straight games of 20 or more against Portland.
Dude, you got 37 from KD last night and a Blazer win?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the classic.
And Danny went for his Blazer high, 41.
That's like the classic, I'm a Patriots fan, and we're playing the Colts this weekend, and I have Peyton Manning on my fantasy team, mm-hmm. and I want him to throw 5 touchdowns, yet we somehow win.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't work that way. If Durant has 37, I'm going to assume Houston won.
Yeah.
Let's slide over to the NFL as we're taking our little rat walkabout in the NFL of teams headed to the playoffs. And welcome back to the playoffs, the Chicago Bears. First-year head coach Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams. Finally seeing some production that everybody's been screaming about. You know, the pressure on Caleb is always going to be big. He's a number one overall pick. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He comes from a blue blood school, et cetera, et cetera. He comes from a coach in college that is a offensive guru, as mm-hmm. they call him. Comes shy 58 yards as being the first ever 4,000 yards passer in Chicago Bear history. But it's funny how things can change just by a little bit more of a new voice.
Well, not just that, a new voice, a new style, a new system, and a new brain behind everything. I think Ben Johnson is obviously the biggest factor in all of this. Riddle me this. When was the last time the Bears had the sixth most productive offense in the league based on yards?
I'm going to go with never, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe Jay Cutler years. Like, Jay used to throw the ball around when they had Brandon Marshall.
But even then,
they still weren't very good.
They were ninth in scoring. The Bears were a top 10 unit in yards and points per game.
Well, they got a huge dual threat at running back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a two-headed monster there. And Caleb
and Swift, yep.
Yeah, and Caleb, you know, I don't want to say there's pressure on Caleb, because there's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's still too young. This offense is still too new, and Ben Johnson just got there. But boy, he's the quarterback I'm going to watch in the playoffs the closest.
I mean, Caleb threw for 4,000 yards.
Basically, yes.
27 touchdowns and 7 picks.
That's a good year.
If I throw that on the board and tell you that, are you taking it?
Of course I am.
Because there's...
With that running game?
Not only that, there's a lot of margin of error because Caleb's completion percentage this year was trash. It was 58%.
Dude, between two running backs, they had 1,800 yards mm-hmm. rushing. My quarterback doesn't need to throw for 4,000 yards if I'm basically rushing for 2,000 yards in a season.
And you've got Roma Dunze, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Cole Kmet, you've got Loveland.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got weapons.
Loveland. Yeah, and I don't know what it is.
Loveland led them in receiving yards.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with me and Caleb. I think it's an unfair. I'm kind of moving the goalposts on him a mm-hmm. little bit, in the sense that he makes play. He's got a little Dante Moore to him. He makes plays mm-hmm. that you're just kind of like, whoa, that throw was wow.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb makes a throw that, you know, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like Caleb will be it will pop in that list. You're like, that's the only other guy that can make that throw.
And there are times where Caleb seems to be moving too fast.
Yep.
Not as an athlete, but like slow down, bud.
Mentally.
Like, yeah, let the game come to you. And I don't know why I fixate on that. I did it with Trevor Lawrence too, of just kind of like
he's figuring it out too.
So this team goes with Caleb. It's going to. Let's see. You look at their schedule over the year. You know, they started kind of clunky. They lost to the Vikings, although we thought the Vikings might be good at the beginning of the year. Big loss to the Lions. You rattle off 4 in a row. You lose one to the Ravens. This team has been fairly consistent. It's not peaking at the right time. That Niners game was quite the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there's anything that concerns me in the playoffs, it's probably where that defense is right now. That Niners offense, you watch just get completely shut down
mm-hmm.
by a Seahawks team. Now, that defense for the Seahawks is 1A, 1B, depending on Houston or Philly,
well,
whichever you're looking
that's
at.
That's the flip side of this, is the Bears' defense this year has been cheeks.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern. Also, in a rivalry game, yes, you get it at Soldier, but in a rivalry game with the Packers, all bets are off. You know,
the Bears' defense was 2 spots above the Raiders.
I hate to do this. I don't think the Bears are ready.
I don't think they're ready.
I
think they're taking a step for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. And Caleb is as well. I don't think they even have it in them to win.
Well, here's
the
flip side of this. The Bears.
I'm poo-pooing the Bears.
The Bears led the NFL in turnover differential.
And that's huge.
And that's because Caleb's not out there turning the ball over. The running backs aren't out there turning the ball over. They're plus 22.
And I'm probably a victim of the media. You know, being hard on Caleb or super pro Caleb, that I'm either drinking the hater Kool-Aid or I'm sick of the lover Kool-Aid. You know, I mean, at this time right now, before we started a show, there was a guy on the air here that did nothing but slurp Caleb, and it got really, really old because it never felt like, because of how good he was as a player.
Mm.
It felt like there were some other biases, and you know who I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what, if Caleb Williams goes into this game and throws 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, I might have to change my opinion.
Well, here's a little something to keep in mind.
Not fair to him, but this is a big game for me in my world of Caleb Williams.
Here are your top 5 teams in turnover differential this year. Bears 1, Texans 2, Jags 3, Steelers 4, Rams 5. What do they all have in common? They're on the playoffs. Take care of the ball, turn the other team over.
It's the truth.
Now
it's carbon copy.
There's volatility in that because it's less predictable.
Yes, there are not a lot of constants in the NFL, but that is a constant. In college as well.
Take care of ball, turn other team over, you're going to win games.
You're going to win games. The Chicago Bears will take on the Green Bay Packers from Soldier Field.
Give me the Bears.
It's the night game on Amazon on Saturday. You'll take the Bears. I'll take the Packers.
What's the line in this right now? Green Bay 1.5?
Green Bay favored?
Green Bay favored 1.5.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah,
1.5. Over under 44.5. I'm going to take the over on that.
That Rams number's gone up.
Oh, really?
It's 10.5.
Oh, God. That scares me more.
I wasn't touching it at 10. I'm definitely not touching it at 10.5.
They just lost
me?
To them.
You're like, nah, I'm good, dog.
It got them out!
10.5.
Sorry.
Big number.
I went all Gus Johnson on you. All right, we come back. Let's get out of here. Let's get Danny Cannell here. Talk a little college football next on the...